Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome back to Water by God podcast. Okay, Water by God podcast. I welcome you all back, y'all. I welcome you. I welcome you. What they say in church, I welcome you once. I welcome you twice. I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. I welcome you. I am the host, Alicia Arnold. Hello to those that are new that are watching, and welcome back to those that already know me. Y'all, life is so good right now, and I'm just so overwhelmed with God's joy and His knowledge. He's just been pouring and pouring His knowledge, and I just want to be completely transparent before we get into this episode. I just want to say welcome back, y'all, because y'all know we've been off. For ever since I went to Disney, I told y'all I was going to Disney, and for those that watched the video, you knew that I said I wasn't going to record immediately, and I actually took too much time off. But y'all, it's really honestly due to work. My schedule's changing, and the kids being out of school. I think I told y'all I work with kids, but it's just been a lot. But here's the transparency, right? The Lord has been dealing with me concerning just being honest and being true about where we are in life. And so sometimes, like, I try to perfect things at its finest. And even with this podcast, I don't want to just give y'all things like when I'm at my best or when everything is fine, cool, collective. I believe that it also comes with a juggle. Like, you know, I'm not going to put too much on myself because if God don't put too much on me, I'm not going to put too much on myself. But I also still have to learn that life goes on and things don't just stop. Not only that, but I just have to give y'all the word as I'm learning it and as I'm writing those down what the Lord is saying to me. I want to tell y'all, like, spreading the word never ends. So it's more than just a podcast. It's more than just coming on a camera and saying whatever I want to say, right? So I have to be more transparent in that area, saying, you know what, this has nothing to do with me or my podcast. This is, let me spread God's word. It doesn't matter the day, how long it was, how long my shift was, how tired I am. Oh, I feel the Lord already, but it's about getting on here and just letting y'all, let's just talk. We're literally just talking about Christ, talking about God. Ways that we get better, ways that we can grow, ways that we can get closer to God to get to the finishing goal. That's literally just what this podcast is about. And so I think I lost track of that, and I was more so focused on, oh, I got to make sure everything is coming together. I got to make sure that the video is this way, or I got to make sure that maybe my hair is done. I can't go on looking like this. If you're watching now on YouTube, you know that my head is not done. Like, I'm gonna show y'all. I got the cornrow braids in, but I'm not mad. I'm not mad about it at all. Okay. I did not feel like doing my hair this week, and I had my hair braided. But the moral of the story is, y'all, when God gives you something to do, don't stop because things take place. Just do it. Like, don't think or don't hesitate to do it. It doesn't take all the thinking that comes with it. Now, you do have to think your actions through, your words through, but that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if God is giving you, like, for example, if he has given you a ministry to go about, don't procrastinate. Don't just waste time. Don't, like, time, we don't have time to waste anymore. So we can't focus on our individual lives. Now, not only that, but I want to say, this is content, but it's not really content, it's ministry, right? But I still want to make sure that I am grasping you all's attention. These are all just announcements before we get started. I want to make sure that I'm grabbing y'all's attention and we're not here for too long. Now, if the Holy Spirit have his way, I'm more than happy to always let him have his way. But I want to make sure that I'm allowing y'all to keep y'all's attention, man, because I want y'all to listen and tune in to everything that the Lord is giving to me, and I'm not going to rush it. That's not what I'm saying, but I am going to make sure that I am allowing y'all to be considered as far as timing. So, God is so good, and He's worthy of all the praise, y'all. We left off with the Lord is my shepherd. This is part two. And so we talked about part one, and I realized that I didn't do that many verses. We was talking so much about the first few verses that I didn't do more, and I stopped at he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. All I said was the first and second verse. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. And we went from there. But I want to cover a little bit more today. So we will be reading, he lead me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then we'll stop right there. We'll cover the rest. I'm gonna try to end the rest on three. But I did get a good bit on today. And if I don't end the next one on part three, it's fine. Like, we're gonna go with however the Lord is guiding me and instructing me. But I did just get off of work, and I just felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Just do it. Just do it." Like, it's not about rushing and get it over with, but it's about spreading God. You never know who need this word, when they need it, and why they need it. So let's get into it, y'all. But we're gonna hop straight into prayer. Father, we just thank you for allowing your children to meet on this podcast one last time. Father, we thank you for, Lord God, your grace and mercy on today, Father, for carrying us, for keeping us, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, for you being our shepherd that we shall not want. I thank you for the first episode and its success and people understanding and getting to know you better as their shepherd, Father, and why you lead us, Lord God, beside the calm waters, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, for leading us and guiding us in this dangerous world, Father. We know that you will never leave us nor forsaken us, but I ask for those that don't know that, Father, you show them that, shine your light like never before in their life, Father, that all they see is your light, Father. Blind them with your light, Lord God, that they won't see the darkness, that they don't have to walk in darkness anymore, Father. And we thank you for your light, God. I ask, Lord God, that you open the ears and hearts and minds of your people. Let them receive, Father, every word that comes out of this mouth of yours, Father. This is your podcast. Hide me behind your cross, Father, and allow me to carry it, Father, that you will say whatever you want to say, however you want to say it. And Father, I ask that, Lord God, your children receive it, Lord God, with the love of you, Father. And Lord God, speak to me like never before. Allow the Lord God, the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak out of my mouth, out of my tongues, anoint my tongue, Father, and you say whatever you want to say, nothing of myself, and I give you all the glory, Holy Spirit. We welcome you on this podcast. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So y'all already know that the title of, you know, part two is The Lord's My Shepherd Part Two. But we're gonna leave it at that. The Lord is my shepherd, part two. I don't really have a subtitle for it, but it's just the continuation of what we're already talking about. So I have a few notes written down, and we're just gonna talk about what the Lord has spoke to me concerning the verse. I'm gonna read them again so that we can hop right into it after the reading. But it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So when it says that when God is leading you, he will bring. The thing about when it says he leadeth me beside the still waters, there's a stillness that God is trying to bring upon his people. And I think sometimes we go so much about life and forget that this scripture, y'all, is quoted so much. For those that don't really know much about the Bible or different stories or different things that happen in the Bible, and if you don't know many scriptures, y'all know that this scripture is quoted a lot. Excuse me. It is quoted all throughout churches, podcasts, like the prayers. This is the one. This is the one right here. But we always say it not realizing, like, this is the simplicity of it. It said he leads me beside the still waters. And when God is leading you, he will bring about a stillness in your life. Some may think that the stillness is an outward appearance. But as I was studying this, the Lord showed me that it's not about everything slowing down. And this is so good, y'all, because mind you, I came on here. I didn't even realize how the two came together. But mind you, I came on here saying life goes on. And I have to understand that while even doing this podcast, life will not stop because God told you to do a ministry. Life will not stop because you have sickness in your body. Life will not stop because you're going through maybe a death in your family. Life goes on. And so we have to learn the stillness. It sounds crazy because you would think that the flesh has to be still, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying he leads you beside the still water, but he's saying he allows a calmness to come upon you that no man can see. They'll wonder why you're going through death, you're going through sickness, you're going through pain, you're going through breakup, you're going through hurt, you're going through sorrow, you're going through misunderstandings, but you still have a stillness. And this stillness doesn't mean that, oh, everything around you stops. When you say a certain word, everything is supposed to stop. When you speak, everybody's supposed to listen. No, that's not what that means. What that means is God is giving you a stillness in your heart posture. So that means when things go on around you, he's building your heart posture to say, you know what? My heart is so still in the Lord. I don't have to worry. I don't have to cry. I don't have to be upset. Even though these people are mistreating me, I have the stillness of the Lord. I'm beside the calm waters. And God is saying, it doesn't matter what is next to you. It doesn't matter what is in front of you. It doesn't matter what is behind you. It does not matter what is above you, what is below you. But he's saying he leads you beside the still water. And it almost reminds me of like looking to the left, looking to the right. What angle are you looking at your circumstance? What angle are you looking at your problems? Because if he's saying that he leads us beside the still water, it's so good, y'all. Don't miss it. He said he lead us beside the still waters. Then that means he's leading us on the side of the still water. It literally means he's leading us on the side of the still water. So everything else that we're looking at, our path, our direction, our angle is supposed to be from that still water. And of course, it's not that easy. It's never that easy when you have so much going on in your life, but you have to shift your perspective, shift your angle. What are you looking at and why are you looking at it? But troubles may never ending, but neither is the peace of the Lord. And so even in our inner selves, God is trying to place a stillness in us. Life will never be still and stop moving, but when God is in front of you, he shows you the stillness is in your situation. It's not the problem that needs to be still. It's the most of the time your faith. Wait. I wrote it down. It's okay, I read that wrong, y'all. I'm sorry. It's not the problem that needs to be still. Most of the time, it's your faith. Thank you, Lord, for the correction. So I'm gonna say it one more time. It's not the problem that needs to be still. Most of the time, it's your faith. So what does that mean? That means that even though your problems are moving around you, it's your faith that has to stay still. Life is only troubling when your faith is moving more than the actual problem. That is so good. Life is only troubling when your faith is moving more than the actual problem. And we can say, oh, like we're going through so much. But this is what I mean when I say that. And don't get me wrong, we may always, many people go through different things. Everybody go through different things, right? But what I'm saying is, our faith, when our problems expose where our faith is, that is when we can tell that our faith is moving more than the problem or the situation. For example, if you have sickness, sometimes it's not about that your sickness got worse. It's just your perspective got worse. Your angle got worse. And so your mind shifted, which made your body feel worse. And I don't know if y'all ever heard of this, but the mental state, your mental state has so much to do with your health. And sometimes we make ourselves more sick, or we make situations worse with the way that we think. So, for example, if I feel like I can't breathe, like some of you may be battling with anxiety or anxiousness. And if I'm feeling like I can't breathe, and in my mental state, I'm saying over and over and over again, I can't breathe. Obviously, my faith is on the fact that I can't breathe. And so now it's getting worse and it's worse. And it feels like my breath is getting tighter and tighter and tighter to the point where I might just faint. I might just pass out. Something might happen. And so that's the same thing in all these different problems that we go through. It's not that the problem needs to stop moving because life goes on. Life goes on. If you were to lose your job right now, life goes on. When you lose a loved one, life goes on. And it's not that God does these things to hurt us, but it's to only make us stronger. I was telling somebody today,
If you ask for strength, God will send you weights, but you have to know how to carry it. It is up to you to know how to carry the weights that God sends you. It's not his fault that you ask for strength. You're asking for him to fix you. You're asking for him to change you. You're praying to God, God, make me better. God, why am I not seeing it like this? God, why am I not feeling it like that? And so when God sends these different problems or things that happen, because we're all going to perish. We're all gonna die, but it's the fact that do you have the weight to carry the death? And honestly, it's not your weight to carry, but these things only make you stronger. And in due time, and God will release that weight off you because it don't belong to you in the first place. And we carry weight that don't belong to us. And God is saying he wants to lead you beside the still water, the calming waters. And so we're gonna move on, y'all, because remember what I said now in the beginning. We're gonna move on from that. But it's not that the problem needs to be still, it's that your faith needs to be still. Trust in God, and life is only troubling when faith is moving more than the actual problem. So many times the problem couldn't get fixed fast enough, and sometimes it doesn't get worse. It's just your faith shifts to believe that it got worse. God wants to also restore your soul daily. It said, he restoreth my soul. And that doesn't just mean weekly. That doesn't just mean monthly. That doesn't just mean yearly. That's not what that means. That means daily. God wants to restore your soul. He is the carrier of your soul. But in order for him to restore, it requires him to get to the depths of you, not the dirt of you. Y'all, when we die, we will surely return back to ashes. That's just word. Okay, we will return back to ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But God is saying it's not that I'm trying to get to the dirt of you. I'm not trying to get to the dirt of you. I don't want the dirt of you. I'm trying to get to the depth of you. What does that mean? That means this thing is not gonna kill you. This thing is not gonna take you out. This thing is not gonna make you crazy or insane. Only if you let it. You have the decision to make. If you want it to make you down, if you want it to make you crazy, if you want it to make you depressed, but God is saying this is only to shape and mold you. He's trying to get to the depth of you, because if you ask for the person that is carrying your soul, see, he's the soul carrier. And in order to get to your soul, he has to go deep. He has to go to the depths. He has to go and do open surgery and find some stuff and take out whatever is in you that doesn't need to be there. You know, when you have things that are in your body, and for example, when the doctors say, oh, we got to get in fast, we got to do surgery quick, because if not, if we don't take this thing out, if we don't fix this blood clot, you're gonna die. Something is gonna happen. It's the same thing, but this is a daily surgery that must go on to make sure that you're being renewed, that your strength is being restored, that you are being restored, your soul is being restored. And so God is saying on today, whoever needs to hear this, let him get in. Let him get in. He's trying to get in and take whatever else is in there to take it out so he can restore your soul. But he said, in order to get to your soul, you got to let him get deep. He has to get in deep. It's not that you're gonna go back to dirt, but he has to get in deep. And some people say, oh, well, it just feels like it. But I'm here to proclaim and let you know that you're not going to die in this thing. You're not going to die in your sickness. You're not going to die in poverty. You're not going to die in molestation. You're not going to die in dealing with all these different depressions and anxiety and disorders and everything that people try to throw on you. It's not that, you know, you're going to die from this or die with this, but you got to break the generational curse. And the only way to break the generational curse is for God to go to the depth of your soul, the depths of your soul, the things that you want to keep from him, the things that you want to hide, the things that you don't want to be delivered, the things that you've been carrying for years, for months. Because the thing about it is, we keep sin for so long, for years and for years and for years, that when God tries to finally take those things out of us, out of our soul, it has got comfortable in our soul. But it's that he wants to restore our soul. He's trying to take back what is his. Okay, but because we are his. We are his people. We are his children. And he's trying to take that back. And see, the only way that it's going to cause destruction for you to return back to dirt is if you restore your own soul. And many times we try to do that. We try to take the authority over our own soul. And God is saying, let him have authority back over your soul. Let him restore it. It's too much for you to restore it. You don't have the power to restore your own soul because you don't see the depths like he see the depths. You're walking this thing. You're talking this thing. But he is in this thing. Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good. He said, you're walking this thing. You're talking this thing. But you don't know what's in this thing. I know what's in you, says the Lord. I made you. If I know the very hairs on your head, I know surely how your intestines work. I know surely how your gut work. I know surely what's inside your throat, what's inside of your arms, your hands. I know how I formed you. When I made you, when you were in your mother's womb, it said he knew us. And that doesn't just mean a physical body. That means he knew your spirit. He knew what was inside of you before you knew what was on the outside of you. Come on, somebody. He knew what was on the inside of you before you ever looked in a mirror to see what you even looked like. We don't know what we look like. We can only tell through this camera, through the mirror. We don't know, y'all. We don't know. We only tell when people take pictures, when people take videos, when we look in the mirror. You know, you literally have to go look in a mirror to see what you look like. But if we never had mirrors, you would never know anything that you look like unless you looked at yourself. But even when you look down and look at yourself, you can't see everything that God sees. And you can't see the inside of yourself. That's why we can't, and that is why pain hurts so bad, because we'd be trying to figure it out and understand why is our body doing what we don't want it to do, but yet we don't know what's in the inside of us. And maybe if we just let God restore our soul and worry about what only we can worry about, God is saying, let him take care of the rest, my daughter. Let him take care of the rest, my son. All you got to do, back to part one, is lay down and rest in that green pasture and let him be the shepherd and let him restore your soul and let him lead you beside the calm waters, and everything else will work out for the good of those that trust him. So then it said, he lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Y'all, what does it mean to be righteous? So let's talk about it. When I seen this, I said that, y'all, I'm sorry, I'm getting tangled up. So, let me go to my notes, y'all. I'm flipping. I'm so sorry. I'm flipping. So, if God is leading you, you will follow righteousness. It will be for him. That means you're not worried about your name and what people think about you. You're holy for God, not for your reputation. And I don't know who needs to hear it, and maybe it's me. I can point fingers at myself. But when I was reading this, y'all, it was so good. Because I heard the Lord say, many times people are walking this faith walk, but they don't realize that the righteousness has been for themselves, because they want to look good. They want people to see them and say, wow, that's what I want to be like. They want people to see them and say, wow, that's what I want to sound like. Or they want people to see them and say, you know, they're living a good life. They're so kind. They're so nice. You know, oh, they're just the perfect person. Or, oh, I would love to allow them to come and speak at our church or come and speak here. Or I want them to have the next big position or title. Or I want them to move up at the job. Or I want them to get the finances. I want them to get the blessing. I want them to get this car. Or whatever we looking for, we have, some of us keep righteousness for that sake. But God is saying, for those that are righteous, and he said, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So what does that mean? When people see us, they should see him for him. He gets the glory. It's not about us. It has nothing to do with our sake or our reputation. And y'all, if it helps any, if this helps any, I'm gonna let you know. They hated Jesus. They talked about Jesus. They dogged his name out. They said he was in trouble for blasphemy. Okay? So that goes to show just how much he had a reputation, even though he also, that wasn't his real reputation. He was healing people. He was delivering people. He was casting out demons and devils. But they remembered him, and even what they put on his cross when he died. Like the things that they remembered him for. I'm talking about the Pharisees, the holy people, the mean ones, the ones that wanted to judge him and call him all these different things. They said he was blasphemy, okay? So let that sink in. If you're doing things for a reputation, if you're doing things for you to have a good look for yourself and for people to look at you and say, oh, you know, they're such a good person. Maybe we got it all twisted. We got it all wrong, because that is not the reason that we should be. It says for his name's sake, righteousness. So at that point, it doesn't matter if people are calling you more holier than thou, then so you'll be. If people are saying that you're acting funny or you're doing this, now if you're really acting funny, that's different. But they even said Jesus was acting funny. They called him all type of names, said that he was doing all type of stuff. So what I'm trying to say is people are going to be people, but make sure your intentions are right. Make sure you're walking the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. So that means you're not worried about what other people have to say or if the look looks good and sounds good. Righteousness is not for you to look and sound good. It's for God to look and sound good. And if you're looking for an applause or to be a good Christian, then your righteousness is for your own sake. So also it said he lead me in the path of righteousness. And many times we struggle because our path is not righteousness. And so we say God is leading us. God is directing our path. But really, what does that look like? Because it's telling us if he's leading us, he's leading us beside the still waters. He's leading us in the path of righteousness. And so whenever we find ourselves straying from that original path, then that means we are no longer following him. His sheep know his voice. And so as sheep, we have to know his voice. We have to know which way he is telling us to go. And whenever we find ourselves straying from our shepherd, we got to realize, oh, this not that path. I'm not supposed to be going this way. I'm supposed to be going this way. I'm not supposed to be going left. I'm supposed to be going right. So we always have to question and ask ourselves, which path are we taking? Which path are we taking? Are we taking the narrow path or the broad path? Are we going and doing what everybody else is doing, or are we doing the opposite? And when you know that you're doing the opposite, you're doing the right thing. When you're doing the opposite of what everyone else around you is doing, you are doing the right thing. When you're doing the opposite of what your flesh is telling you to do, you are doing the right thing. Your flesh tells you to eat more than you've already can feel, okay? You're doing the right thing if you ignore that. When your flesh tell you not to talk back, not to cuss, not to do this, not to take that drink, not to take that blunt, not to take that cigarette, not to take those drugs, not to hit that person, not to spit on that person, not to whatever that looks like for you, okay? God is saying when you do the opposite of what you want to do, that is the path of righteousness. It doesn't feel good, and it feels kind of awkward at first because you want to join in these things. Your flesh wants to, but the spirit is always willing. So you have to look at it and say, you know, this is not worth my time. This is not worth my peace. This is not worth my sanity. This is not worth my righteousness. And if I want to be truly righteous, I have to follow the path that God originally laid out before me, because every other path is false. It's going to lead to a dead end every single time. Every single time you follow the path that is not of the Lord, it's going to lead to a dead end. You may have thought it was a road, but whole time to begin with, it ended with a cliff. It ended with a cliff. And it's going to lead you to a dead end, and it's not worth it. And you don't see that until you get to the dead end. And at that point, it's too late to turn around. When you going so fast at the pace and at the rate we be going, you can't press on brakes. Imagine driving so fast on a mountain and you don't know when the mountain is going to end, but you just thought it was a road, but you didn't know where you were going. You were just going so fast because you were trying to get to your destination. But eventually you got to the end, but you were going so fast you couldn't stop. Even if you pressed on brakes, you were still going to slide off. And God is saying you have to make sure the path that you're taking is the righteous path, because naturally we want to go fast to get things over with, but we have to calm down and remember the still waters that is beside us. And If y'all ever seen a scary movie, you could be riding a car and you see everything is all pretty and good, and then out of nowhere you may see start seeing bad things, and you know in the movie that they going to a place that's not good. Like at first everything looked good, but then you start seeing like maybe start seeing the lights that are turned off. Y'all know how it get in scary movies, like somebody looking out the window and they like good at first and they say, "Wait, where are we going? Where are you taking us?" And then it get bad, right? And so many times we think everything looks good from the outside until we get further in and further in and further in, and we like, "Okay, wait, this not that." But it shouldn't take us getting to the end of destruction for us to see it's not God. God doesn't want us to get that far. Us that He doesn't want us to get that far in destruction. He tries to stop us before it gets that bad. But we have to be willing. Amen. So if you're wondering why troubles are all around, it could be because the path you're on is not toward righteousness. But God restores your soul and your original state to make sure that you get the rest that you need. God will supply everything daily for you. And so after everyone, something else that stood out with God restoring your soul, it is important to make sure God restore your soul, because you go through a whole day's journey of people getting bits and pieces of you and making you angry, making you sad, making you anxious, making you happy, making you all these different emotions that you need your soul restored. Because if not, you're going to wake up the next day with the same bits and pieces that everyone broke off from you from the day before. Imagine you got all your body parts, but as you go throughout the day, somebody take a hand, somebody take a leg, somebody take an arm, then you go to sleep. And if God doesn't restore all those body parts back to you, you're gonna wake up with half of a body and think that it's going to work out. And the next day, it's not going to, because you didn't go to the restorer of your soul and get what you need. You didn't go to the person that can give you all that stuff back. And it's so simple, getting in the bed at night and saying, "God, I had this type of day. I need you to restore my health. I felt sick. I felt weak, but I need you to restore it, God. Father, I'm going through this at my job. I'm going through this, but I know you are a healer. I know you are a way maker. I know you are Alpha and Omega. I know you are the beginning and the end. Father, the world is going through destruction. They say this is going on and this is going on the news. But I know you as the Father of peace. And so I don't have to worry." These are the things that we have to tell ourselves at night, and that we have to say and speak over our life for our soul to be restored. It's just simple conversation. And as I stated in the beginning, we overthink things more than they should be over, more than they should be thought of. It doesn't take that. First of all, our mind should be placed on things above, heavenly things. And when we think with the perspective of what is God thinking, what would God say? And honestly, it's more than just what my mouth can even say, because that is a whole nother thing that God is showing me right now. Like we say, oh, we have to think in a heavenly way, but I have been thinking in such a spiritual way. It honestly is like, wow. Like it's a song that Kiera shares saying. It says, indescribable, whichever one. But basically, words can't describe it, because I don't have the words to explain it. Unexplainable. It's literally just like that. We focus so much on what our eyes can see and what our ears can hear, but God wants to do something so supernatural that nobody can hear or see it, not even you. It's just something that just takes place. And then, boom, we can look back and say, wow, this was nobody but God. Because how did this even form? Where did this even come from? How did this even happen? And then God will get the glory and not man, not a therapist, not medicine, not pills, not a diagnosis, not a doctor, not your parents, not money. Not surgery, nothing, but only God can get the glory. And when He gets the glory, we know that something went right somewhere. Something went right somewhere. And we want to give God glory for materialistic things, but God is not materialistic God. We got to understand that He's not just a materialistic God that just blesses you with material things every time we ask or call for them. And then what about our actual health? What about our actual deliverance? The things that we need to work on to get better, to be a better person. Amen. So we got to make sure we're being restored for the next day. And if you don't let him restore you, we will be living off yesterday's pieces of brokenness, anger, pain, unforgiveness. And then we wonder where our peace and our sanity is going. But it's because the world, we left it with the world. We left it with where we last talked, who the last people we talked to, the last people we hung with, the last people that we did anything with. But God is saying, talk to him. Let him know what's going on. Let him know what he can do to help. And at that moment, you don't realize that's him restoring your soul. It's the little things that matter, y'all. So that is all I have for today. I pray you all got a great understanding. I pray you all are doing good this week. It's Wednesday over here. I don't know when y'all are going to watch this, but I pray y'all enjoy the rest of your week. I love y'all with the love of Christ. If you ever need any prayer, anything, y'all know y'all can comment below. But I just pray the blessings of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow in your life. And I pray God gives you all the strength and he restores your soul on today. And so we're going to close out with a prayer. Father, we thank you that you're restoring our souls. I thank you that you're restoring whoever is looking at you right now, whoever is listening to this, whoever needs to find you and find the restorer of their soul. Father, I ask that you meet them halfway, God, and show them, God, that you can restore them. You can restore the past. You can restore what the devil stole from them. You can restore, God, what happened yesterday, what happened 2 months ago, what happened a day ago, what happened, Lord God, what's going to happen. Father, you are restorer of all things, God. And so there's nothing that you cannot do. And Father, I just ask that you be the way maker and show them the light beyond the darkness. And Father, we just thank you that we receive these things in your name. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, heal everything that the enemy is trying to bring against your people. Father, every pain, every destruction, every witchcraft spirit, Father, every demonic force, God, we tear it all down, Father. We ask that you make room for you in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds and soul, Father. We just give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Hallelujah. I pray you all be blessed and highly favored. I love y'all with the love of Christ. And I will see you next time. Mwah.